Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. It's good for us to be able to come together on the Lord's Day again to worship the Lord. As we've been announcing, we have an upcoming gospel meeting. So, Lord willing, a week from today, Jesse Flowers will be standing here. Let's continue to do what we can to let people know about our series of lessons. The Sunday services, of course, the three services, Bible class, and then in the morning, in the evening, all of that will be the same time. And then Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. So we may have family or friends that we can invite. Let's continue to do that. There are many people, some 10,000 around the church building, that are getting a card in the mail. In addition to that, we can be inviting our friends and family. And I believe I need to make some more copies of the flyer. I'll try to do that after services. If somebody can remind me, I may forget. But we'll get those where you can pass those out to people as well. And it'll be a good time to come together to study God's Word. And Jesse has done his work preparing some lessons. And we can certainly do our work in being here and trying to bring others. So we look forward to that. And let's continue to pray for that and work toward that end. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah says, "Woe unto him that calls evil good and good evil, that puts darkness for light and light for darkness." We need to understand, brethren and friends, that for many years, even in the Old Testament, there have been those who have tried to downplay sin and whitewash sin. This evening, I want us to talk about euphemizing sin. A euphemism is a word that you use in place of another word. And the EU prefix means good or well. We choose a word that is a nice word to speak about something else that might sound more negative. So when we use a euphemism, we're using a word that we're trying to make it sound better than what it really is. And when we euphemize sin, we're using words and phrases to make sin, to turn it from a vice almost to a virtue. And Isaiah, speaking for God, says, "Woe unto anybody that would do that." And we live in a culture today where people will often do that. Some will deny that they've sinned. They will conceal that they've sinned, or that they will ignore it in some way. And so they sin. They're not really trying to act like it doesn't exist, but they deny it. They try to cover it up. There are others in a little bit more sophisticated way who will downplay it or whitewash it. Whitewash, of course, years ago, whitewash was a cheap watered down paint that you could get a lot of coverage out of it. It would just cover something like a picket fence or something like that. So it became an expression meaning just to cover up something. And people will do that today. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you watched a program on TV where the word sin was mentioned, S-I-N, sin? When's the last time you heard the word sin? Just the word. When's the last time you heard a news story where someone was actually accused of something and the word in the Bible that describes that was used? You just don't hear it anymore. You just don't hear it. And the question asked this evening is, where is sin? Where is the sinner? No one's a sinner anymore. You ever thought about that? No one is accused of sin anymore. I'm talking about in popular society. People do things and no one will describe it as a sin. You may be familiar with Phil Robertson, one of the members of Duck Dynasty. He's come under fire recently for just speaking his mind about sinful things, homosexuality and other kinds of things. And he's become sort of an icon of someone who's just simply willing to state it like it is. And a lot of times he will use language that is just language of the Bible. And many people have just been speaking frankly about sin for years. But because of the popularity of that show, I know that he's gotten more attention. And he's just simply using words that are in the Bible to define homosexuality and other kinds of things. What we're finding today, brethren and friends, is that there's a downplaying of sin. And if we're not careful, just like God's people of many generations have been tempted to be like the world around them. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves doing something similar. We might downplay it in our mind. We might say to ourselves, well, it's only just such and such that I just did. When in fact, it's just outright sin. And we need to be careful about that kind of thing. This practice of downplaying sin is not new. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15. In addition to the statement there in Isaiah, woe unto him who calls evil good. That's just downplaying sin. You take something that's evil and you say, oh, it's not all that bad. It's actually kind of good. That's not the only statement we have in the Word of God. For example, Proverbs 17 and verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. People justify the wicked all the time. Look at chapter 24 and verse 24 of the book of Proverbs. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, people shall curse him, nations shall abhor him. These are general principles we're finding in our own nation, that the nation is not abhorring those who do that. They're actually applauding them. But many people will say to the wicked, thou art righteous. Isn't that what's going on in our country with regard to some things? This is not new. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. It has been in man to do this for a long time. And if you want to justify or condone sin in your life and in my life, one of the first things we do is we euphemize it. We redefine it to make it sound like it's not so bad. In Jeremiah, and this is a ploy of the devil that we need to be mindful of. And so this evening our lesson is be mindful of how the devil can work in this area. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, speaking of the prophets and the priests. Look at verse 13. We're not talking about worldly no goods. We're talking about the prophets and the priests were doing this. The prophets and the priests were saying, they have healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the hurt is not talking about physical pain in your body, but the hurt that they were experiencing from their sinful lives. And the priests and the prophets were standing up and saying, oh, it's not all that bad. Peace. Oh, everything's fine. Look at Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. In the prophets of Jerusalem also I have seen a horrible thing. Underscore that in your Bible. This is not something that's just no big deal. This is not just Chris's opinion. This is not just, well, that's the way someone was raised where they need to point out sin. No, in God's eyes, this is a horrible thing. What? They commit adultery and walk in lies and they strengthen the hands of evildoers. Underscore that in your Bible. One way that you strengthen the hand of the evildoer is you walk along after he does something wrong. You walk along and say, well, that's really not, it's really not that bad. So that none of them doth return from his wickedness. When we downplay sin, the person doesn't want to get out of sin. When you downplay the sin, you don't want to get out of it. It's not all that bad. It is a horrible thing, Jeremiah says. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 22. We strengthen the hands of the evildoer when people in Hollywood and when people in movies and music condone things and encourage things and downplay sin. We are strengthening the hands of the evildoers, and the evildoers continue to increase in our nation because people will downplay sin. In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 22, because with lies you have grieved the heart of the righteous. And it does. Doesn't it grieve us that sin is going on? Those who know right, those who know truth, they're grieved by what's going on. You've grieved the heart of the righteous, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way and be saved alive. When we downplay sin, and we're going to see later in the lesson that we need to be careful as parents that we don't do this with our children. When we downplay it, when we slough it off, oh, it's not all that bad, that's okay, then what we're building ourselves up for is a big fall, because they continue doing that and it gets worse and worse. We looked at Mark chapter 7. Turn with me this evening again to Mark chapter 7. We referenced this morning. Do you remember the scribes and the Pharisees who wouldn't take care of their parents? They wouldn't honor their father and mother. And the way they excused themselves from this was they didn't just scratch the commandment out of their Bible. They just redefined what they were doing. So I'm not going to take care of my parents, and I'll call it Corban. And so you put a label on it, and then that makes it okay. And what's happening today is that people are taking sinful activities and slapping a label on it and redefining, it's fine now. And so they were not taking care of their parents. And if anybody questioned them, verse 11, just tell them, that wherewith you might have been profited by me. Mom and Dad, that what I have that could have helped you, well, I already called it Corban. And so it's dedicated to God, and you're not going to see a penny of it. Well, putting a term on something doesn't make it right. And Jesus rebuked them for that. And he said that you're making void the word of God because of your commandment. So this practice of redefining and renaming in order to justify behavior is nothing new. Whatever happened to just good old sin? In our nation and in our world, it is slowly just dissipating. People don't talk about it. People don't mention it. People don't label an activity that is sinful just using Bible terms. We don't do that anymore. When was the last time you heard something described in a Bible way? And when Phil Robertson comes along, he gets a firestorm, and some of what he does is just mentioning what the Bible talks about. And it's just a big old ruckus. Why? Because we are in a society that has downplayed and continues to downplay sin so much that when somebody comes along and just calls it what it is, well, that's different. Now, godly, righteous people, we're going to continue to do that regardless of our society. But in mainstream society, that puzzles them that someone like that would just speak sort of openly and plainly. How is it that we get to this point? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, in a country or a nation, the first thing you do with sin is you popularize it. In other words, you get more and more people each year doing something. Let me illustrate it with divorce for any cause. 100 years ago, divorce for any cause was rare. You hardly knew of anybody who had gotten a divorce and I keep saying for any cause because that's the problem. Matthew 19:9, Jesus allows a mate to put away their mate, divorce their mate for sexual immorality or unfaithfulness. But I'm talking about just you can't get along and so you get a divorce. 100 years ago, that was almost non-existent. You just never knew of anybody that did that. But more and more people that did that, it becomes popular then. And the first few people that try it, they're sort of shunned, and that's kind of a negative thing. But then more and more people do it, and then it becomes just sort of popular to do that. Then the second step is, once you get enough people who are doing it, and it just sort of becomes sort of commonplace, then you vote in politicians that will actually legislate it. And now it is legal to get a divorce for any cause. Or we might say homosexuality 100 years ago, okay? So then just more and more people do it. And then there's enough constituents in a particular area to vote in a guy who's going to go to Congress and vote in what we call civil unions. So you popularize it, then you legalize it. Well, once it's on the books as legal, then what happens? Wow, then the barn door is open, and now it's just sort of normal. Do you know that in other countries, and you'll hear about this on the news every once in a while, there might be a Middle Eastern country where homosexuality is outlawed, it's illegal, and we hear about that story, and we're like, wow, that's strange. Well, not everybody in the world is America. Not everybody, some actually are, can run to the beat of a different drum, In our country, it's legalized and normalized, but not in other places. Now that it's legalized, I can say I have the law behind me and I can do it legally. I can get a divorce for any cause legally. I can get an abortion for, if I want, legally, since 1973. How did we get to the point in 1973 that we legalized abortion at the top Supreme Court? How did we get to that point? Well, we got to that point where earlier there were more and more women wanting that, men and women wanting that, and it got so much, it got so popular that we eventually vote in judges that are open to that. It becomes a climate of popularity. And then when we legalize it, then now we can just be more open, and it's just sort of normal. It's just sort of normal. And then last of all, when questioned about it, then you just euphemize it. You just speak in such a way as, well, it's not all that big a deal. And that's where we're at. And so what was once an outright vice is now a virtue. And dare you say anything about it? Do you see the social way that that evolves? Do you see how that happens? In fact, you can see some of that in these scriptures that we just read. One of them there in Jeremiah said that the priest and the prophet were doing that. How did that get to happen? Well, there were enough Israelites doing it that the priest and the prophet, they feel the pressure. And so now they're going to change their tone because they don't want to be the unpopular ones. And so we see that same type of thing even in the prophets. What we want to focus on this evening is this last one. Now, this evening we may not be committing homosexuality or those types of things. We may not be getting an abortion. But there may be something else that we're doing. And because of this pressure that is on us, we just want to downplay it. Let's look at a few examples this evening. A euphemism, as I said earlier then, is just a word or phrase that's considered less offensive. Let's look at a few examples. You know, used to someone was guilty of sin, now they're just sick. And before I go any farther, let me say that I'm not a psychologist or sociologist, but I believe that there are true mental illnesses. I believe that there are true diseases. I believe that. I'm talking about that which is not truly a sickness or a disease, and it's just thrown into that in order to justify someone's sinful behavior. So instead of being guilty of sin, well, you know, he's just got an illness, you see. He's just got a disease. He's just sick. He's a victim of his society and so forth. Alcoholism, you see, it's just a disease. That would be about the only disease I know of that's bottled. You ever thought about that? About the only disease I know of that's bottled. Well, he's just got a disease. We don't describe it as drunkenness. We don't want to use that word. We don't want to use what Paul called reveling in drunkenness. It's, well, he's just sick. So this evening, I want to talk about euphemizing sin. I want to talk about what was going on in the days of the prophets and it's still going on today. I didn't tell a lie. I just told a story. And parents, we need to be careful with our children about some of these kinds of things where a young person will do something that is wrong and a parent will, now, honey, don't come down. They just told a story. We're not doing our children any favors. Or a fib, a little white lie. You'll see on today with regard to the media, a politician is caught. They don't use the word lie. What do they say? Well, Senator so-and-so misspoke. He misspoke. See how misspoke sounds better than lie? Lie is negative and bad, but misspoke, it kind of softens it and blunts it a little bit, you see. And if we're not careful in our own mind, if we lie, and this would be something that I'm talking about, you know, we don't get an abortion and we're not homosexuals and things, but what about lying? Lying is so easy to do. Do we justify that in our mind with, well, you know, I didn't quite tell all of the truth. And we have these words and phrases. All that's doing is euphemizing sin. Homosexuality is just an alternative lifestyle. It's a different sexual orientation. I heard the other day on the news that some Asians are upset now and they don't want the word Oriental to be used. That's negative and biased and, mean-spirited and things like that. It's in the context of the Native American discussion that is going on, you know, with the Washington Redskins need to get rid of their name and things like that. And so more and more groups are jumping on board with Oriental just simply means to the east. That's all that means. And someone with a different sexual orientation, they're just going in a little bit different direction than the rest of us. No, it's homosexuality. Abortion is just pro-choice. You know, I'm just pro. And who would be against choice? You know, terminating a pregnancy. See, terminating is a little softer than murder or killing. One of my favorites is selective reduction. I like that. That's good. Selective reduction. So I've got a baby inside of me, and I'm just gonna make a selection. Gonna make a selection to reduce whether or not that is there. Selective reduction. You see, you can make it sound good, and you can make it sound politically correct, and you can soften it all day long, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. Those who are in business practices, they will do something with their business where they cheat or defraud someone, bribery, theft, deceit. This happens all the time in the business world. And it's not deceit. It's not bribery. It's not theft. It's just getting one up on the competition. You know, after all, we got, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and we've got to stay ahead of the competition. We're just trying to make money and keep our head above the water. No, it's fraud. Profanity. Someone can let out a string of bad words. Well, he's just got a little potty mouth, you know. Or freedom of speech. Covetous. I'm not covetous. I'm just trying to get ahead in life, you know. Life keeps knocking me down, and I'm not greedy. I'm not greedy. I'm not greedy of material things. I'm just trying to get ahead in life. Just trying to, you know, the American dream, trying to live the American dream. And, well, maybe just outright greed and covetousness. And I don't gossip. I'm not a busybody. I'm just staying informed. Just staying informed. And I'm trying to, I mean, I might be able to help others by knowing what's going on. And it's none of my business. Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1 Timothy 5, a busybody, and then in 1 Peter 4, about verse 16, 17, along in there, a meddler in other men's matters. Well, I'm not a meddler in other men's matters. I'm just trying to stay informed, and I might be able to help them with what's going on. And here's the child that is just, you know, it's just a brat. You know, just a brat. Yelling, screaming, knocking stuff over, breaking stuff. They're not disobedient to parents. They just have a free spirit. And I just hate to, you know, rein that in, you know, and quell that free spirit and sort of, you know, dampen that free spirit. It'd be a shame if we did that. No, they're just disobedient. Let's look at a few things in the New Testament. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. In just a minute, we're going to focus on Galatians chapter 5. But just to illustrate this from other areas, look with me at Romans chapter 1. And as we look at these lists this evening, as we look at these lists, just put in whatever word or phrase you would put in there. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 29. People who don't want to have God in their knowledge, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, wickedness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, mal meaning bad intentions to hurt somebody, malignity, whisperers, there's your gossip, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, Inventors of evil things? Inventors of evil things. No, he just has a good imagination. Disobedient to parents. No, that's just little Johnny, little Sally. She's got a free spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you see how easily this is done? We're in a society that takes practices that are sinful. And by the way, Romans 1 there at the very end says that those who practice such things are worthy of death. We're about to read now in 1 Corinthians 6 that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God by doing this. But if you downplay it and rename it and euphemize it, then everybody's fine. But Paul says you cannot inherit the kingdom of God by doing these things. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, be not deceived. Underscore that in your Bible. One of the deceptions of our culture today is that these things are not as bad as what the Scripture says. And that is a deception. Be not deceived. We downplay it so much that at the end of the day, what was once a vice is now a virtue. It's almost virtuous to be doing these things. Look at this. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with men, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Well, they just have a disease. They just have an illness. No, these things are wrong. They're sinful. And whoever practices them shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't extort from them in my business. I was just trying to get one ahead of the competition. I didn't bribe them. I didn't defraud them. I didn't use sinful business practices. I was just trying to get one up on the competition. And you see, just continue going down through the list. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. You can take each one of those and redefine them and define them away until it's not all that bad. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named among you. Nor foolishness, nor foolish talking or jesting. Well, I was just joking. I was just telling a dirty joke and it wasn't all that bad. Verse 5. Fornicator, unclean person, covetousness, idolater, shall inherit the kingdom of God and Christ. And we just go on and on. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that we don't fall prey to this deceitful thing where we just downplay it and euphemize it. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at verse 8. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Well, I don't lie. I just misspoke, you see. Put these things away. Now, turn with me to Galatians 5. We want to spend some time here this evening looking at some illustrations of this. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about the works of the flesh, and when we practice these things, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot be right and faithful with God now. We cannot be in heaven in eternity. But what we do is we live in a country that takes each of these ideas and sinful practices and euphemizes them. Following the King James, the first one listed is adultery. Well, it's not adultery. It's not adultery. It's not sinful. It's just a fling. He's just having a fling. And he went out and had an affair. And he's spoken to his spouse, and really they have an open marriage. No, it's adultery. The devil is deceitful, like we talked about this morning. And one of the things that he does is, he doesn't literally remove the practice. The practice is still there, and it's wide out. It's right out there, wide open in our country. Adultery and other things. You just rename it. And euphemize it. That way you can continue doing it. The works of the flesh which are manifest are these: adultery, fornication. Well, they were just fooling around a little bit, sleeping around. The line, I like that, living together. Sherry and I are living together. Every godly man and woman, husband and wife here this evening, are living together. So what they're doing is the same thing that we're... No, no. Sometimes words are used that have legitimate concepts and good concepts. Every godly husband and wife here this evening are living together. That's not the issue. That's not the problem. But we use words to make it sound better. And so, well, you know, you can't hold them down. They're young and they're sexually active. No, it's fornication. Making love. Or somebody might be... In fact, I'm hearing this more and more in commercials, and you'll notice it. You'll notice it in commercials. There'll be commercials around Nashville. It might be like sleep commercials. Some commercials that might be a mattress or sleep commercials or something along that line. And at the end of the ad, it'll say, you know, for you and your significant other. We're having to mention that in commercials because that's actually what's going on. Instead of a godly husband and wife, a person just has a significant other. I've seen more and more of that in advertising, and I've noticed that. Used to, they would talk about husband and wife or something along those lines. Now it's your significant other. Not only does that catch the homosexual crowd, but it also catches just the fornicating crowd, just people who are sleeping together, and they have a significant other. It's subtle, brethren, but you need to listen for it. You need to look for it. And it's creeping in. And when we see that and when we hear it and our young people hear it at school and other places, you need to stop and say, no, no, that's not how God defines it. We have to constantly have our radar in tune to, no, I'm not going to, because if we don't, we just suddenly start talking that way ourselves. Uncleanness. No, he's just a man of the world. You know, he's experienced. He's out there, you know, living the good life. And he's been around, you know, a few times, you see. No, he's just being unclean. Lascivious. Some of your versions have the word licentiousness. That's a good word. License. I think the New King James has licentiousness. That's a good word because the Greek word asalgeia means a person who believes that he has license to do whatever he wants or say whatever he wants. So licentiousness. So here's a person who maybe a woman or a man dressing in such a way that is provocative and showing parts of the body they should. Well, they're sexy. They're hot. No. They're dressing immodestly and they're showing what they shouldn't be showing. And they don't want to live within the license or within the constraints of God's word. They want to have the license to go beyond that. Freedom of expression. Artistic expression. Sometimes pornography is described this way. Artistic expression. An art form or something like that. Going on down the list, idolatry. Every person should be able to find his own God. Every person should be able to worship God the way he wants. And sometimes it's described as, well, they're creative. Yeah. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 26 says that they took the glory of God and changed it to a beast and an incorruptible man. They changed his glory. Yeah, they create some things. Idolaters create some things. That's right. They create God in their own image and they change a glorious God into a piece of stone or wood or something else. And like the Romans and the Greeks did, they had gods that matched their immoral lifestyle. So if they wanted to go out and get in a drunken debauchery, well, they had the god Bacchus, who, I wonder what he... Well, he's the drunken debauchery god. So we live the way we want, then we create a god to justify that. a person doesn't engage in sorcery or witchcraft anymore. It's New Age, the New Age movement. We heard about this in the 1980s. And they're experimenting with tapping into the occult. It's not sorcery and witchcraft. When I try to talk with the dead, I'm just channeling. Some of these next things can get closer to home with us. We've got to be careful about these kind of things. Look at this. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Some version says hatred. We need to be careful about these next few things. Someone can be filled with hatred and they say something or they do something with somebody else. Paul calls it hatred. What is our world called? Well, the two of them, they just had some hard feelings between themselves. No. And back in the 1950s and 60s, the racial white-black clash. Well, there's a little discrimination between the two. No. There's hatred. And we need to call it what it is. Here's two people fighting, whether in the local congregation, in the family. And I don't mean punching each other. I mean verbally fighting and otherwise. It's strife. It's a work of the flesh. Well, they just don't see eye to eye. No. It's strife. And you're not working to get along. You're not having the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and peace and joy. You have a work of the flesh, and you're contentious with people, and it's wrong. I'm contentious. It's wrong. No, we just read it. Well, they're just not seeing eye to eye. Jealousy. Here is someone who wants what belongs to someone else or wants them not to have what they have. You hope that something bad will happen to them so their good fortune will be taken away from them. Well, I'm just looking to my needs. Spread the wealth. We all need to kind of have the same thing. I'm just trying to get a piece of the action, you see. You get the idea? The devil does this. I don't have anger. Sometimes I just feel like I just need to blow off a little steam. And so we're hearing more and more about domestic violence. I was maybe pretty soon here wanting to bring a lesson on that. When there's that flare up inside of us, what are some things we need to do? We're hearing about the NFL player hitting his wife, and we're hearing about things like that. There's a way to handle that. The Greek word means a flare up, an outburst. And when we do that, it's a work of the flesh. It's wrong. But no, we just redefine it. Well, he's just kind of losing his cool. He lost his cool. Or someone, I mean, come on, you got to let him vent every once in a while. Vent. No, it's a work of the flesh. And people engage in road rage. Expressing frustration. No, it's anger. It's wrath. It's wrong. Similar to what we looked at before, this idea of separating. I don't want to get along with others. So I'm factious. And sometimes in a local congregation this will exist. It has existed here years ago where certain members did not want to get along with the Bible plan for things. Constantly tearing things down, backbiting, causing problems. It happens in a local congregation. Well, these two brothers in the church, these two, they just have a little personality clash. No, they're factious. They just don't get along well with others. Socially challenged. That's one of my favorite ones. There's a family of words here. Factious, strife, division. This is an interesting one. Look at Galatians 5. We're down to verse 20. Jealousy, wrath, faction. My version has division. Partings, envies, drunkenness, revelings, divisions. Then the next one, divisions and parting. in my version, party, and that's not like a birthday party. The Greek word is heresy. You're teaching something that is different from God's word, and it causes a party spirit. I'm coming out here, and I'm in my own group. I'm teaching something that is different. Look at this. No, they're just open-minded. They have a different perspective. Here are folks in the church, and they're cliquish and clannish, and they won't follow the elders. They just want to go in a different direction. No, you're factious. You're divisive. And sometimes it's described as open-minded. Well, you know, I'm just sort of a free thinker, and that goes along with this next one. The Greek word is heresy. It literally means to teach that which is different. To teach different, or to teach something that is opposed to God's word. No, he's just a free thinker. No, he's teaching something different from God's word. He's got innovative ideas. Here's the member of the church. I want to come in and I want to encourage the elders to have instrumental music. Well, he's got innovative ideas. No, no, he's teaching something contrary to God's word. And we can label it and relabel it and redefine it and do all of that. But at the end of the day, it's a work of the flesh. Envying. I'm not envious. I'm just keeping up with the Joneses. You know, come on. I should be able to have what they have. I'm upwardly mobile. I'm just trying to get ahead in life and live in the American dream. And I'm not greedy and I'm not envious. And I don't want to take from them. You'll hear this sometimes. This is portrayed in movies. Someone didn't murder somebody else in the movie. He just got what was coming to him. Well, who decides who gets what's coming to somebody? No, you just murdered a man. Drunkenness. Well, that's now a disease. It's an illness. So I was just getting high. I was trying to feel good. I was unwinding after work. Had a little too much. Sometimes you'll hear he just doesn't hold his drink really well. No, he's a drunk. It's drunkenness. And again, alcohol may not be our problem, and abortion and things like that, but do we see somewhere in here where we might have a tendency to do something similar with things? Reveling. Well, we were just having a good time when we went down there to Mardi Gras. You know, just having a good time. Yeah, the ladies were taking their shirts off, but you know, we were just having a good time. Spring break. So you take a break from morality. You take a break from ethics. So for a week, you get to do whatever you want. Just take a break. No. There are a lot of songs a lot of pop songs on the radio today. A lot of pop singers, and it's about partying and drinking and partying into the night. The word party is used a lot. We're not talking about a nice birthday party, anniversary party. We're talking about reveling, the word that involves sinful activities. He's just a playboy. Living the high life and so forth, you see. We get the idea. So as we close our lesson this evening, what are we to do when sin is not in? And by that I mean it's not in fashion. It's not cool. When sin is not in, we're getting that way in our country, what are we to do? Well, we need to remember that a woe is pronounced on you and me and anyone who would call evil good. And it could be simply calling my lie, telling a little story. Or my anger, well, I was just letting off a little steam. Or whatever it is. And when parents condone it in the children, and when politicians condone it in the country, and when preachers condone it from the pulpit, then there's not going to be much help for our society. And that's what's happening. the parents are condoning it in the children growing up, and they have these misdeeds, these things that are wrong, but in the coddling kind of way, you just really didn't do so and so and such and such. And then politicians are doing it and voting on it and making legal sinful things, and preachers will sometimes in the pulpit justify divorce for any cause. There are preachers in the pulpit that will condone homosexuality and other kinds of things. I've been wanting to get a lesson together. I haven't had time to do it yet, but there is a member of an institutional Church of Christ, a well-known preacher, who has written some things recently on what he calls ethical deception. That there are times like the midwives in Exodus 1, and Rahab the harlot, and Abraham, there are times when it's ethically okay to deceive someone a little bit. We're being influenced by this idea of downplaying what sin really is. There is no ethical time to ever deceive someone. Well, sometimes the end justifies the means, and sometimes you have to do that. And Rahab had to tell that lie, or something bad would have happened. So sometimes you need to do that for the greater good. There is a member of the church preaching that. Well, we've just euphemized lying. We need to call it what it is. And when God's word describes something, we need to describe it the same way. And even in our own personal lives, we need to label it as God would label it. We need to abhor what is evil, Romans 12:9, and cleave to what is good. I hope that that has helped, because we live in a society where this is going on so much so. And I want us to go to heaven. And I don't want us to engage in these things. When we engage in these things, Paul says that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I want us to go to heaven. But we can't do it by engaging in these things and then downplaying it and acting as if everything is okay. The Proverbs passage, justifying the wicked. The Jeremiah and the Ezekiel passage, holding up the hands of the wicked, you see. This is how we do it. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves doing it in our own life. There may be someone here this evening that needs to be washed of one of these sins that we've listed, or something else that needs to come and be baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God needs to come back praying and confessing and seeking forgiveness. We're going to face it straight on. And what Mr. Robertson is doing is not anything new. In God's Word, God's people have always been encouraged just simply to speak where the Bible speaks, and to call something what it really is. And whether it's Nathan or somebody else just coming out, Paul with Peter coming out and just stating what it is, that is the way that we make ourselves right with God. Just admit it, label it as God would label it, repent of it, stop it, come back and be in right fellowship with God. If we can encourage you in some way, if we can assist you in some way, why won't you come forward as we stand and sing this song of invitation?